Keep your Bibles handy. We'll be going through it quite a bit, different verses. Let us speak to the Lord for a moment. Loving Heavenly Father, once again we thank Thee for the privilege of being gathered together with Thy people. And particularly we know where two or three are gathered together in Thy name that Thou art in the midst. Thou art here in a special way. We know that the Holy Spirit indwells each that knows Christ as Savior. But as we're gathered together in His name, there's a special gathering of the Lord to be with us. Now as we enter upon Thy word, we just trust that Thou wouldst open the word to our hearts, that we might see and observe and apply to our hearts the wonderful truth therein. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen. Now from chapters 13 on to this portion, they're all tied together. And the portion just prior to this, we find there the watchfulness that is needed. We find our responsibility to the things pertaining to the Lord's interest. In this portion, we find that which pertains to the bridegroom, our interest and our concern with the Lord Himself. Let us begin reading with the first verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at night there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man cometh. Now before we begin, I've got a few notes down here as to some of the types and emblems that are used. The virgins speaks to us of separated ones from a Greek root, to be set apart. And for those of us that know Christ as Savior, what are we admonished in the Scripture? Come out from among them and be ye separate. We're to be separate from the world. We're in the world. We're passing through it. We're pilgrims. We find that too many of us have, as we have heard some state, we drive our tent stakes or pegs too deep. We're settled down in the world. That shouldn't be the case. We should be looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that the things that we've got here, we are stewards of all of those things, no matter what it is. And believe it or not, even those that aren't saved are going to give accountability for the things that the Lord has blessed them with. So virgins doesn't just necessarily mean here chaste young women and, of course, men. In our culture today, sad to say, they're few and they're far apart. And even more sad, we find some of that right amongst God's people. Then we find the lamps. Lamps speak to us of our profession. How is our own personal profession? Do we stand up for the Lord? Or do we keep our mouths shut for fear we might offend someone? Or someone might scoff or sneer, laugh? Figure you'll wait for a better day. We're to be ready to speak up in season, out of season, at all times. Who knows, we might not have another time to speak to that individual. That might be the last. Then the oil speaks to us of the Holy Ghost. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Our brother was mentioning, Christ should be all in all. Everything in our lives should have to do with Christ Jesus. Now, when it says in the commandment to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, that doesn't mean that we're to be down on our knees all the time. But whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever we read, whatever we say, whatever we think, Christ should be glorified. Everything should redound to his glory. And then we think of the vessels. Speaks to us, to our hearts. What does our heart meditate upon? And if we're not careful, we get caught up with the things of the world. And in last week's lesson, it mentioned merchandise, and it mentioned farming. Now, there's nothing wrong with them. There are many things in the world, even the sports, the Olympics, just about everything in its place. But too many people put it first. Sad to say, some of the Lord's people will miss a meeting to be off at a ball game. Your being there isn't going to help that ball game one way or the other. Your being absent from the meeting is going to affect the local testimony. And it's going to affect yourself. It's going to affect our spiritual well-being. Now, occasionally there are emergencies. We know that. I don't think sports are a particular emergency. Occasionally in work. Now, some of us that are in construction, well, I was, but there are times they have to work because of schedules that have to be done. If you're doing commercial work, many times you work when the people aren't there. And that can be a pain, believe it or not. You need a piece of equipment or something and all the stores are closed. So you work after hours. You work Saturdays and Sundays. But those are the exception. By and far, even the construction people have those times off. And when we think of the number of hours in a week, how much time do we give the Lord? Where is our heart? So the vessels speak of hearts. And the bridegroom, of course, speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice something in this lesson? The bride's never mentioned. Bride isn't mentioned at all. We go to Revelations and we find the bride in all of her glory. And the bride is what? The church. Everyone that has trusted Christ as Savior. He will come to rule and to reign. And it's hard to believe it. We're going to rule and reign with him. We're made kings and priests. And we think of our, just think of our own shortcomings. How many times have we done something and we're afraid we've made a mistake or we've miscalculated or we've overlooked something? But praise God, in that day, those things won't be, because we're going to be like unto himself. And then the sleeping speaks to us of unwatchfulness. I got a note here. The hope of coming lost, the church for many, lost to the church for many years. During the Middle Ages, the hope of the church was lost sight of. And for you young people, you want to remember your heritage, the so-called Plymouth Brethren that brought it back to light. And remember this, the word Plymouth Brethren was applied to them. They didn't apply it to themselves. Everyone that knows Christ as Savior is part of the Brethren. They're saints. They're brothers and sisters. They're one in Christ. They're part of the church. All this denominationalism, it isn't anything new. Remember, even Paul rebuked them. There was four groups already back then. And this is where denominational has led to the mess we have today. But we're one in Christ and we should be awake. We should be looking for that blessed hope. Looking for His return. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that are in the grave that have trusted Christ as Savior will rise first. Then we who are still living, if it happens in our life, will be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air forever. But physically, none is gone before another. And then we find the midnight cry. Is the truth restored in your heart and in mine? Or is it something we've shunted it off to the side place, to the cabinet, to the closet, something that's in the way? Robbie was mentioning the Bible. I can't remember the names of all the older brethren in a bygone year, but even some of the men that used to be in this meeting, and some of the men that I was raised up under in Western Canada, and even Niagara Falls, when you mentioned the book, there was only one book. It's like one brother, he was on his deathbed, and he told his servant, bring the book. And he didn't have to guess which book. As far as the servant was concerned, as far as the master was concerned, there was only one book. All these other books are supplementary, even if they're commentaries. They can shed light on things we don't quite understand. But you still back it up by the book, the Word of God. All right. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now the picture is an Israeli wedding. Now remember, Joseph and Mary were what? They were espoused. In essence, they were married. But the marriage wasn't consummated. They didn't come together. After they were married, he went and prepared a home. The bridegroom prepared a home. But the bride was to be ready, because she never knew when he was coming to bring her into his home. And that's the situation here. They're waiting for the bridegroom. What the virgins had, they were waiting. They had lamps, but they were asleep. Much of Christendom is asleep today. The oil speaks to us of the Holy Spirit, of course. I'd like to look at John, the third chapter. John 3. John 3:29-30. Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. These people were called out. They were separated ones, and they were waiting for him. Five were wise and five were not wise. Five were foolish. And yet what is said about them? Could you tell a difference in them? They all had lamps. They were all dressed for the wedding. And I dare say they had good professions. We have many people with professions today. The Lord will make the judgment, but you and I have to judge by the fruits we see. If there are no fruits, something is wrong. If a person is saved, there's going to be fruit of some sort, even if it's just giving water to someone in the Lord's name, but they're going to be doing it for him. There will be fruit, and you and I can only judge by what we see. And most of us know, too, that the professor, without possession, is usually the hardest individual in the world to reach for Christ. They think they're saved. They've made a mental asset, but they haven't let the Lord into their heart. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, and we know the Lord doesn't tarry. That's just a term to imply that he hasn't come as yet. The Lord knows to the very moment that he will be here. Remember the Lord speaking said, but the Father knew. It implied that he didn't know. As man, he didn't know, or it wasn't his place to divulge it. But as God the Son, he knew exactly when he would be coming back. He knew exactly when he would give up the ghost on the cross. Everything to the most minute point of time. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now we trust with each one here that knows Christ is their Savior that this won't be our position. We should be looking for the Lord momentarily. We've heard many say, on the tiptoe of expectancy. Just as though the Lord, his hand was raised to knock at the door. That's how we should be expecting. But it's been so long that people figure, well, it won't be in my lifetime. Don't count on it. That was the problem with the Thessalonians. They thought that the dear brothers and sisters that had died in the Lord wouldn't be there for the resurrection. They didn't stop and realize that they were all going up together. And that's why Paul brought those verses here. They were all going up together. Now, if you and I pass through the article of death, sure, we're going to be in heaven in the presence of the Lord first. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But then this corruptible, if we pass through the article of dead, we've corrupted in the grave. This corruptible will put on incorruption. And those that are still living, this mortal, will put on immortality. We won't go into God's presence with the bodies we've got now. We might look like it, but they'll be perfected bodies. They'll be bodies like unto his own. Those that were in the graves, in like manner, we all go up together. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. In other words, as the bridegroom came through the streets, they all went out to meet him. As he came to get his bride and to take her home. Let's look at a verse in John 14. Some can probably quote it all. John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And stop and think of it. If God, by the word of his mouth, created the universe in a day, He created the world in a day. He created man and the animals in a day. What kind of a place has he got for us all these years he's been preparing for us? And if I, verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye shall be also. And where I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, and we can thank Thomas for this, because most of us would never possibly fully realize it. He said, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Here's the verse. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And while we're on that portion, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, and the 9th verse. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, ye know the deep thing, yea, the deep things of God. But God has prepared them. Remember, Paul had a what? He had a thorn in his side. And he believed that he had that thorn because that pride could creep in. Remember, he said he didn't know whether it was in the spirit or in the flesh. He was caught up where? To the third heaven. He was caught up to God's abode. And he wanted to write these things, but God said, you're not to write them. Just like John was showing things, and God said, you're not to write them. That was at the end of John's life. But Paul was in the prime of his life. And he had the thorn in his flesh to do what? Keep him humble. He saw all these marvelous things, these wonderful things that God's preparing for you and for me. So God kept him humble with the thorn in the flesh. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Let us look at 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians 1. Beginning with verse 7. To you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall punish them with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's for those that didn't have the oil. They didn't have the Spirit of God in them. They weren't born again. John 3 and 3 and 5 both tell us what? We must be born again. John 3 and 7, again, marvel not at this. He must be born again. Three times over. We have to be born from above. We have to be born spiritually. And the foolish said unto the wise, give unto us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. It showed just how foolish they were. There was no source of oil in these other ones. There's no source of spiritual life in another man or woman. We have to go to God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's nothing from without. In Psalms 49, 7 and 8, I should be able to quote it, but I'm afraid to start it for fear I'll be wrong. None of them can by any means redeem his brother or give a God. Give to God a ransom for their soul, for the redemption of their souls is precious and it ceaseth forever. How precious is your soul? The universe couldn't pay for it. God's Son had to pay for. That's the only price in all of the universe that could pay for your soul. The death of Christ Jesus. He became our great high priest. For even Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. He is our great high priest. Did what? He offered up himself. He became our substitute. He took our sin upon him. And then let us look over in Luke 24. Luke 16, verses 24 and 25. This is the rich man. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, rememberest that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And brothers and sisters, that's 2,000 years ago and he still hasn't got a drop of water. Well, some will say, well, that was just a parable, was it? It's the only parable wherever a name was used then. But whenever it was a parable, it said a certain man. Here a name was used. But even if it were a parable, what difference would it make? The Lord is truth. I am the truth. And whatever he said was true. If it was a type, it was still true. And the wise answering said, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. In other words, go to the proper source. Go to God. Take the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the only answer to get that oil, to get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. So close. Yet so far. And they that were ready went in with him and the marriage to the marriage, and the door was shut. Revelations 19:7-9, we find another door shut. It's shut eternally. The Lord loved these foolish virgins just as much as he loved the other. He loves everyone in the world. The person that is in the lowest place of the gutter, Christ died for them. Thank the Lord, some of them get saved. By and large, the world wants no part of them. We, like the Jews, could say we don't want this man to reign over us. And it can be carried a little farther with the Jews. His blood be upon us and on our children. What a curse to bring upon yourself. And there are many goodly people, have good intentions, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Boast not thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God doesn't promise one more heartbeat, let alone another day. We all are prone to say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do the other thing. Baloney. The Lord willing, you'll do it. And the Scripture admonishes us to cover whatever statements we make, the Lord willing. Let us look to the Lord. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful love that has been bestowed upon each one of us. Yes, and that love has been bestowed upon the world and they that are in it. But the wonderful gift of eternal salvation, the many promises that are accrued to those that have trusted him as Savior, a home in glory, but above all, to be in his presence is only to those that appropriate that gift to themselves. And how many have waited to the last second only to be cut down in death or something else, step in and stand between them and the Christ of Calvary. May the hearts of each of us be more concerned with those that we come in contact with as to their soul salvation, less concerned with the things of the world. Now we ask that thou would be with us, take us to our several homes in safety. We trust that as many as possible could be out this evening. And those that are on the road, that thou would give them journey mercies. And again, Father, we think of those that have been laid aside with illness, if it's thy mind and will, that they might soon be raised up. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen.